Abigail Morby is a 2016 John Monash Scholar. She has degrees in international law and has studied at Columbia University in the United States. She's lived all over the world, but currently calls Noosa home in Queensland. Abigail, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Justin. Great to be here.
So what brought you to Noosa?
I am super grateful to have stayed and been based in Australia over the last year. I actually completed high school here and then was based overseas for 7 years or so. And I actually came back for Christmas and ended up staying for COVID at the end of 2019.
It's a beautiful part of the world.
It sure is. Couldn't agree more.
So you're now working out of the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah, I think the whole world has seen this great shift in my opinion, in the ways that we can adapt and work flexibly. So yeah, I've been able to do what I need to do just from a computer on the Sunshine Coast.
So does that mean that you're working with clients, obviously within Queensland and all over the place?
Yeah, still a few international projects that are international law, still practicing international law, and then also taking a bit of a delve into projects in the Noosa community, which has been great too, because the local is international at the end of the day, and it's great to be able to interact with the community here.
So let's go back to the beginning. Where did you grow up, and where did you go to school?
I grew up in the Snowy Mountains, a little village called Threadbow, population of about 200 people in the summertime, I think, and it grows a bit in wintertime.
Significantly more in the wintertime.
Yes. Yes, it does. Yes. Yeah. As does Noosa, yeah.
So where did you live? Did you live in the main village or on the outskirts?
We did. Sort of right down in the heart of the village, and travelled to Jindabyne on the school bus for primary school each day and back again. But I feel so grateful for that childhood. It always felt very safe, and you had like a sort of constant exposure to skiing and mountain bike riding in the summertime.
So I'm going to presume you're a very good skier.
I enjoy it. Yeah, love it. Absolutely. Yeah.
You started skiing from obviously a young age?
I did. It was great. I can remember each Friday at school in primary school was actually devoted to ski training. So it was the ideal school.
And so what's Threadbow like during the summer? Obviously everyone knows it during the winter because it gets packed and people are there for the snow. But I would imagine during the summertime it would be a wonderful place to be.
It's gorgeous. Yeah, you really see the whole village change, you know, with that transition between seasons. And you can hike up to Mount Kosciuszko and between a lot of the huts around the Dead Horse Gap area. Just as gorgeous in summer as it is in winter with all the snow.
Okay, so you went to school in Jindabyne. Is that high school as well?
That was primary school in Jindabyne. And then completed high school on the Sunshine Coast.
Wow, that's a big change from the cold to the sun.
It sure was, absolutely. But they're both beautiful places in the world, so no complaints.
And so you ended up studying where straight out of high school?
Straight out of high school down in Brisbane at the University of Queensland.
Okay, and was that a law degree?
It was. It was a law degree combined with arts, and in the arts component, I did political science, French, and economics.
So what was it, Abigail, that made you first interested in either the law or international law?
Yeah, I think what it was actually ski instructing, of all things, through high school.
Yeah.
I had the chance to go over to Japan and ski instruct in school holidays. And I think that gave me exposure to, I can remember having one group of, you know, these great kids who were ready to try anything and push themselves and grow so quickly. But within this one group, there was a child from Russia, from Singapore, a few from Japan and from Australia, and all could speak multiple languages and and did most of the translation for me in the lesson.
Yeah,
and I think I was so impressed by that diversity, and then also simultaneously the points of commonality that were there, you know, in that group. And it just sort of gives you that perspective that there is these points of commonality that we share across cultures and geographical regions. And I think international law has a great way of enshrining that and reflecting that. And just the fact that across history we've been able to reach this degree of commonality and find these common truths, and that degree of consensus, I think it's miraculous.
Terrific. And,
yeah.
So how then did you focus your attention on international law as part of your studies?
Another great question. I can remember having a feeling that the reason I was doing a law degree was to lead towards this specialization in human rights law and hopefully being able to practice overseas.
Yeah.
And I think it was about a second or third year law. And I was sort of slowly making my way through torts and criminal law.
This is not for me.
appreciating the learning process. And then making my way to the section of the T.C. Byrne Law Library and sort of just picking up those foundational texts on international law. And before I was able to take the subject, just picking up the material and getting a feel for it, and hopefully that prepared me for an eventual career.
Okay, so how long was that first degree?
5.5 years.
Yeah. And so you finally finish your degree, and what happens then?
After I finished at UQ, during my penultimate year at UQ, I had the chance to study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose.
Where'd you go?
Istanbul. Yeah, Koç University in Turkey.
Wow.
Which was great. Yeah, it was fantastic.
How did you end up there?
I think I chose, it was sort of a choice between Switzerland or Istanbul, with just the way how subjects worked out.
Yeah.
And I think I remember making a conscious choice to learn or choose the place that I knew the least about and hopefully could grow the most out of that experience. I'm sure Geneva would have been great too, but
yeah, it would have been, yes.
But yeah, Istanbul
was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
So university in Turkey. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was great. They've got, you know, Turkey has a really fascinating history with the Ottoman Empire and the modern Turkish Republic, and that this whole book's just written about that transition for the country. And I think that studying there is to go back, or is to enter a sort of chapter of history for Turkey, even just in the way that they teach international law as it interacts with their country. And the methods of teaching were brilliant, actually, and put my experience in Australia into contrast. But during that time in Istanbul, I had the chance to visit Iran for a couple of weeks.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, it's sort of a border country, so it doesn't feel like it's so far. But I did that just through a colleague that I'd studied with. She'd sort of invited me to go there and stay with her family. Yeah. So I did that with a couple of other Australians that I studied with, and we had a great time. And I remember sort of wanting to return to that country after graduation.
It's interesting you say that. My sister, my older sister, went to Iran with her husband for 3 weeks, and she said she's traveled all over the world. She said it's one of the best holidays, one of the most amazing experiences she's ever had in her life, and would love to go back. So what is it about Iran that makes it so interesting?
I could second that completely. Persian culture is so hospitable and so generous, and I think the people really have suffered through a lot and are so eager to welcome you to their country and leave you with a really good impression of their hospitality. The snow there is also phenomenal. The backcountry skiing that they have. Yeah, it's great. When did your sister visit? Was that fairly recently?
Oh, I think it was about 5 years ago.
Great.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so
I think that's when I was there. Yeah, 2016.
Mm. So you're in Iran. Have you finished your degree at this point?
So after graduating in Brisbane, I applied for and accepted a contract with the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime in the anti-corruption department.
Okay.
And so it was sort of a
amazing. Where was that?
That was based in Tehran, in the main city there. Yeah.
What did you do there?
So I was based in the anti-corruption division, and it was
working as a lawyer.
And also a bit of policy, which sort of gives you great exposure to that relationship between the UN and Iran, which has been fractured in the past, but it was incredibly eye-opening during that time, because it was sort of this high watermark for Iran in terms of its relationships with the world. So the sanctions deal that the P5+1 countries had agreed with Iran was just about to come into effect in 2016 January. Mm. So Iran has been under some form of sanctions since 1979, and Iran was just about to see the lifting of those sanctions.
Great time to be there.
It was. Yeah, people were celebrating in the streets. Yeah.
And so how did the John Monash scholarship come about? What made you stick your hand up for that?
Yeah. So the John Monash scholarship, where to start? It is, I remember hearing about this fantastic scholarship foundation in my penultimate year at UQ, and hearing from a colleague at UQ, Catherine Drummond, just about the sort of degree of exposure that it could give you to a great network of professionals, and then just the way also that through meeting that network and gaining that international exposure, how you could really then move overseas, have that fantastic opportunity to study internationally, and then bring those skills back to Australia and be a part of that network through your career.
And then so what was it that made you think, actually, I'm going to have a crack at this? This is for me.
Yeah, it was through, I think at that time, really looking at how I wanted to use international law, and where I was located in Australia, and how that exposure to practicing overseas could be beneficial for Australia in the long run.
Okay, so you applied, and then the interview process starts, and
yeah,
how was that? Was that nerve-wracking going through all those interviews?
It was, but it was actually brilliant. And I think it also goes to, it really, it's true that, at the beginning, what you think you're applying for, you can never anticipate then, on the other side of the fence, just how hard and brilliant, the opportunity is going to be. You don't know what you've got yourself in for, and it's better than you could have ever expected. Really? And I think just the process of meeting that interview panel for the state selection process and then the national selection process highlighted just how valuable the network was going to be.
Yeah. Did you obviously, you do a bit of prep ahead of those interviews, and I imagine you could probably anticipate some of the questions, but did you get some curly questions out of left field that you thought, well, there's no way I could have prepared for that?
I'm sure I did. I can remember definitely feeling like I was waffling my responses just in the process. And you're also so intimidated by just the caliber of the people who are interviewing you. I remember, the national board was a combination of former Olympic athletes, Margaret White, who's a former Court of Appeal judge, and so many leaders from the educational sector, and just the fact that they've taken such an interest in you and read your CV so well, and they also make you feel so comfortable during that process. Yeah, it's you get that sense of it's not just a scholarship opportunity; it's also just a great group of professionals who have invested their time and dedicated their energy to the next generation's progress.
Do you remember where you were when you got the phone call to say, or was it an email? I don't know. You were when you found out that you'd actually got the scholarship?
I do. It was a really, really great day. I was so excited. I was in Brisbane. And we went out for dinner that night. It was great. Yeah.
Mm. And so you chose Columbia University in the US. What was your reasoning behind choosing that institution?
So I was driven to apply for US universities because of the United States has this really great track record of leading the world in its anti-bribery prosecutions.
Okay.
There's lots Australia can I think learn from those US enforcement actions, and then Columbia University specifically had a great department that had an outreach program with developing countries, helping them also police corruption and bribery.
And living, studying in the US, tell us about that experience.
Absolutely brilliant. Hands down, New York is such a creative city, and I think you learn so much about yourself and so much about your profession and what you're capable of through living there. And then also just being at Columbia University, the people that you study with, that's almost half the experience.
Whereabouts is it in New York?
It's 116th Street, so Upper Manhattan.
Mm, okay. So I imagine given the space restrictions in New York, it's not the world's biggest university in terms of land size.
It's interwoven into the streets up there.
Yeah.
It's very sprawling, but like gorgeous campus. And I had a really great bike ride each day, I remember, from South Manhattan up to 116th Street. So that really broke the day up in a nice way.
Were there lots of other Aussies studying over there that you ran into or met?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, we were so lucky. There were three Australian John Monash scholars all studying at Columbia at the same time. Yeah,
really?
it was absolutely brilliant. So we're all really close today, Jackie and Steve.
Mm-hmm.
And we would meet up for breakfast each Monday while we were there. And it was great to have that, that support going through the program.
So while you were studying over there, did you were you working as a working in law at all, or were you doing other work?
Yeah, I started work with a great law firm, White & Case, before starting the master's degree. So I'd started work for them, which was great, just to move to New York and find an apartment and sort of get settled in the city, and then have that beautiful opportunity to complete the master's degree and then return back to work at the law firm. And during the program at Columbia, I had the opportunity to work with a great international law barrister, Amal Clooney, who has been a phenomenal career mentor. And that work, I think, was really eye-opening and a great opportunity.
And so you finished there. And did you come back to Australia pretty much straight away?
I remained in the US for another couple of years after.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that was then just obviously working as a lawyer.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so you're back home now in sunny Queensland. So what can you tell us about the work that you're doing now?
Yeah. So I have sort of taken on a bit of a mix of local community projects, which I'm really enjoying, and it's great to sort of have exposure to Australian politics and also be looking at the policy of the Australian government, and especially during this time, I think it is a really great period of change in the world, and we're all learning about how to adapt and respond, and governments are as well, and the nature of conflict around the world is changing. So it's great to be able to sort of be based in Australia and have that exposure to what's going on here, and then also keep my foot dipped in international policy.
Is it good to be home back in Australia?
Wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Yeah, we've got such a great country, and I'm so grateful for, our Australian government's, the way that the whole country right now is, has adapted and responded, and,
Have you ever thought about a career in, within government, in politics?
Definitely. Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Is it on the cards? I don't know. Well, there's no announcement pending, is there?
Not yet. But yeah, we'll see. It's definitely something I'd consider.
Yeah. Okay. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, Abigail, it's been wonderful catching up with you today and hearing about your experiences in Australia and overseas. We will follow your career with much interest, and we thank you very much for joining us on the Scholars Podcast today.
Thanks, Justin. I appreciate your time.